You ready?
I'm ready. You ready?
I am as ready as I will ever be.
Well, I mean, good thing we pushed start, so.
Yeah, we're ready.
Hello, guys.
Oh my gosh, we miss you so much. It's been so long, and we are so happy to be back.
It's spooky season. It's October something, you know. We're in spooky season, so we thought we'd bring you a little bit of a weird one today.
No, this is going to be a crazy case today, but it is going to be fun and crazy. I don't know.
Yeah,
let's do this shit.
Katie's getting to be the storyteller for you here today. Oh, wait. We got a little bit. We got a special guest here today.
Yes. Go ahead.
Introduce yourself, guest.
Hello, everybody. My name is Malik Heath, you know.
Speak up. Mm-hmm. Tell them your name again.
Malik Heath from Chicago, Illinois. Nice to meet everybody.
Go ahead. You don't want to throw nothing out there for them to look up? No Facebook, no music, nothing like that to throw out there?
I mean, you can find me on Instagram at Malik Heath, MalikHeath 773. You know, follow me, I'll follow back. I hope you guys are ready for the ride.
All right.
Well, we appreciate you coming tonight. So it's been a while for us. We're excited to get back. Tonight, I'm telling the story for season two. So this is our jump start. So we're excited.
Yeah.
We're ready to get it going. And
before you start, though, because this is some shit here. I seen on TikTok the other day that this dude was telling everybody, you know, that these black girls in Kansas City, Missouri, were coming up missing. There was a serial killer in Kansas City, Missouri, and the police, you know, refuted all rumors trying to say, you know, basically there wasn't a serial killer until just last week. This guy, Timothy Haslett Jr., he was charged with first-degree kidnapping, first-degree rape, and second-degree assault after a woman escaped his house, basically. She was kept in a small room in the basement, and she was restrained with handcuffs on her hands, ankles while in the room. And this creep sexually assaulted her multiple times against her will and everything. So basically, you know, the police are bullshit because they were telling everybody that this wasn't fucking happening, and it was fucking happening.
Of course.
They always trying to have something.
Exactly.
So, I mean, you can't really go by what they're saying, you know. You gotta go by the streets, you know. I follow that Ears to the Streets St. Louis shit. That shit will keep you up to date.
Yeah,
for you sure. You gotta make sure you're listening into actually what people are saying, because that shit, I don't know. It kills me that they try to cover up shit like that.
It's like something in Chicago. They got this little thing on Twitter and like Facebook where like any shots, somebody's reporting it. So that's what they need for them.
Something.
Oh, yeah.
Something.
They need something like that.
Also, shit. Starting January 1st, like 30 minutes from here in Illinois and on. 30 minutes from here and on. Illinois. The purge is coming, guys.
Oh, yeah. I definitely see the post about this. Can we please talk about this? Because when I seen these posts, I started cracking up. I'm like, not that it's funny, because, like, this shit seems insane. So do you have more info on that? Because I need to know the accurate.
So pretty much, it's not really a purge law, but it's the fact that they're passing a law where there's no cash bond. So you can bond out with no debonding the album automatically. For kidnapping, for second-degree homicide. Uh-huh.
Some more serious crimes.
Which is outrageous, because it's more than just kidnapping.
Yeah, really? That's crazy.
Armed
that's
robbery,
yeah, that's a second-degree murder. That's basically like purge status right there.
Like, they're allowing people to just go free at this point. They don't care. And they said that they had like 48 hours or something like that until if they miss their bond hearing or something hours. Like that to even go after them.
It's not even 48. Oh, wait. What?
I don't know. I heard something about it. It was like the actual police chief or something like that. They said they had like 48 hours before they could even go after them after they've, you know, been arrested and released. Something like that. So if they have that 48 hours from Illinois, you can get to fucking Alaska. You can get anywhere in 48 hours. You can get the fuck out of there and you won't have to worry about anything at that point.
Yeah. for me, it's outrageous.
No, it literally is.
You from Illinois, so how do you think that's going to make shit change?
Well, you know, you just ripped Chicago. It's going to be a lot of retaliation, and they're going to be very comfortable that they're going to come home.
Oh, yeah. That's 100% true.
I think that's what's just to be expected.
It's not going to make any of that crime shit go down.
It's not. But the worst thing is, and I mean no disrespect to the mayor of Chicago.
Yeah.
But she's under so much stress, and people are ridiculing her. Same thing they did Barack Obama. Same thing they did with, you know, Joe Biden got some things that he got to get together. But these people have been put in predicaments where shit is fucked up.
Yeah.
It's hard.
We're in a hell of a position right now.
To bring something back from years and years of destruction in Chicago, and the state of Illinois itself is in a huge array of destruction.
I think we can just agree in general that the United States, I mean, we have a lot to come back from. Good country, but we have a lot to work on. A lot.
Yeah. No, I mean, and something else in that, in what I watched that video, he said something else about if they break into your house, that they're not going to send the police.
What?
I'm going to have to link that video in this, because I think y'all think I'm crazy. But I'm pretty sure he said that if they motherfucking break into your house, take care of the shit as best as possible. That they're basically not going to send the police to do anything at that point.
Well, I tell you this, everybody, even if you're not supposed to, I recommend you try to get your FOIA card. Because you may shoot somebody in your own crib, but if you ain't got that FOIA card, you're going to jail too.
Yep, that is true. In Illinois, they will take you to jail, but I'd rather be in jail than in hell.
Hell no. Nah.
That's on me.
I'd
rather be in jail than in hell. So if it's you or me, it's you at that point. Satan.
Okay.
Anything else you wanted to address? You good? That was it, or you ready to jump into your case here?
No, I'm so ready. I've had this case ready for a little bit, and we've just been like waiting on the perfect opportunity to release this shit.
Yeah, we've had
I don't think there is
some
a good
ups and downs and things going on, you know, obviously as every day. But
I don't think anyone's ever ready for this type of case, but it's like one of those cases that like
this is a mind fuck.
When I heard this case, it stuck in my brain, and it's like embedded, and it lives in me for the rest of my life.
I think maybe this will let it out. Maybe this will let
you think this will help
the demon.
Me?
Maybe this will release the demon.
And
for
that's
you.
Why we've always talked about like I need to do this case, and that's why I said I'm gonna do this case finally, because I'm just like I can't get it off my mind. So maybe you're right.
It'll just get it out of there. Maybe
I don't think so. Okay.
Let's go.
All right. So. Do you guys know what a Frogger is?
Me?
I mean, yeah.
Oh, you know I know what a damn Frogger is.
What do you think the definition of a Frogger is?
A creepy person. What do you think a creepy person does that's a Frogger?
I think a Frogger is somebody who just lost their damn mind and think they just gonna live free and eat somebody's food. So, in other words, you're more of a leech.
That's it.
Yeah.
They're not usually harmful. Let's go to that. But
no, harmful because they're eating your pockets.
But they're that's true. That
harmful
true.
To your pockets.
But they're not. They don't usually, you know, present any harm to you. You know, nothing like that. That's usually what a Frogger does. A Frogger just lives in your house. You know, eat your shit. Takes your heat up and air and
listen to you have sex.
Weird shit like that. Watch you. Yes, in your closet.
Come on now.
Yeah, like I think you guys are. Fucking spot on. Great job. But no, literally, it's only been a term that's been around since 2006. So, like, I'm not surprised that you guys know the term. But some may not be familiar with that. But the definition is literally the crime of individuals secretly living in someone's home. So, whether they have foul or good intentions, they are creeping in and living in your home. And that in itself, that thought is terrifying to me. They can live in your vents. You think the smallest spaces.
They have a condo in your head.
Literally, they live there. Like, Cardi, you live there. And So yeah, the thought of someone living in your house and you not knowing is beyond disturbing and traumatic.
Oh yeah.
And think about something. The man's getting half for free.
Like, okay. I mean, shit. I don't know. But that is nuts. Someone literally, you're living your everyday life, and someone's here with you, and you don't even know it.
You know, that's like all those times when we lived in Streeter, and it would just be randomly missing, and then we'd come back hours later, and it's in the exact same spot where I just looked, knew exactly where the fuck I left it, and, like, who the fuck moved that?
We would do it on purpose. Like, I remember me and Justin specifically, like, we would put things out. Because, like, after we started getting suspicious, we would leave things out and they would definitely be moved. So, I mean, I think that whether you think that's maybe the apartment people, if you want to believe it's someone else that's in your crib, because a lot of people are like, ooh, spooky stuff. No, like, these are real people.
It would happen when we
would
still be at home.
These are real people in your crib. Like,
it would happen when we would still be at home, though.
Yeah.
So, like, not even all the time when we would, like, leave and come back, we would still be at fucking home.
Go to sleep, wake up, and shit would be different. And so... Yeah.
All the time.
So that's
not even just all the time.
So be observant. But yeah, like basically what I was saying, ever since I literally heard of this case, Daniel LaPlante. Daniel LaPlante is his name. I have been so intrigued and obsessed over the thought of Froggers.
Yeah, no.
Because he is like so infamous for this type of crime. Like when I say, like, in the most awful way that he is this crime. Like, if you looked up this, like, Frogger, I feel like his name would be tied up.
I watched that show, so I definitely have heard this case. I watched that A&E or whatever that show.
Can you read his name again?
Yes, it's Daniel LaPlante, and it's spelled, the last name is L-A, and then plant, and then E. So, yeah.
That doesn't mean you can Google it.
Yeah, don't do it yet.
So his name LaPlante.
Yeah, it's LaPlante.
So he was like LeBron, and he wanted to be the champion of the Froggers, huh?
I guess so.
Oh, he definitely He's the winner. He originated that shit, didn't he, or something?
He must have.
I'm not gonna lie.
No, but it's LaPlante.
LaPlante.
With a T. In it.
So he didn't love playing nothing.
But yeah, he didn't love playing nothing.
Yeah, to be a fucking creep.
So basically, I'm constantly looking for hints in our crib. I'm just going to be real with you.
At this point.
At any point. Like, we've moved since then, and I'm still looking, and I will forever be looking for a Frogger in my home. that is just my obsession, and I will just be clear that it's a fucking weird obsession, but here we are. LaPlante was a Frogger, and unfortunately that would lead to something, if possible, darker: murder.
Ugh,
so yeah,
I hate that,
and which is crazy to me, but we'll get there, because
how he fits in the killers all around us. It's not just the Froggers all around us today, right?
Yeah, because literally, me, like, I've told Justin that I've wanted to do this case forever, but I said, there's no killer involved. Daniel LaPlante didn't kill anyone, so let's see what happens, because we finally get to do the case. So let's do the shit. Okay, so his story begins with a rough childhood, as many of our cases do.
I mean, 99.9999999999.
Yeah, I mean,
and since you are the father, but go ahead.
Okay, Maury. But I mean, let's just throw it out there, just like we say about every victim. You know, it's okay to feel sorry for the child, Daniel,
always,
because he went through it.
Damn.
As a child.
Are you gonna give us that too? Because I definitely want to hear all that. Yeah. It's fucked up.
But don't feel sorry for the adult, Daniel. But we can feel sorry for the child, Daniel. Okay. So, he was born in 1970 in Townsend, Massachusetts. He was reported that his childhood was super traumatic and miserable. He was physically, psychologically, and sexually abused by both his father and his stepfather.
Damn.
So not only was like he put in like one bad, like he was born into a bad situation and then put into a terrible, another terrible situation.
That's fucked up.
Yeah. Like awful. Yeah, that's, okay. That's so what would any logical parent do? You know, he would go see a psychiatrist, right? They were like, he's got trauma. Let's
hopefully
go
yes.
get him some help. So that's what they did. He was in his early teens. He goes and he sees a psychiatrist. And he would actually be diagnosed with hyperactivity disorder.
What's that?
Yeah, so it's just
it's like a high sexual thing.
Activity.
Hyperactivity is like either he has a high tendency for sexual things or he has a ADHD.
A chronic
condition. ADHD.
Yeah.
Boom. Okay.
I have ADHD.
What did you say it was called?
Hyperactivity
is a symptom of ADHD.
Okay. He would actually be diagnosed with He would actually be diagnosed with hyperactivity disorder, which is like ADHD.
Okay.
Yeah. So after a year, he would leave therapy, actually more damaged than when he began.
How, Sway?
Because you got to think about it with therapy, bro. They break things down. So you start to...
But that's the point. And you're supposed to be...
Some people can handle fixed. It. Some people can't.
But or not necessarily fixed. I don't want to say that, but you're supposed to be, you know, better. Get that off of your psyche, you know, release some of that from your mind and mental. But what happened? What happened? No, why did he get more traumatized? I need you to go.
Yeah, no, because both of you are so right. Like, some people have traumatic experiences and don't take therapy, right? And sometimes they go through a lot of shit and trauma, but they come out better on top. But that's not either one of the situations. Actually, the psychiatrist would begin to actually sexually abuse him as well.
Fuck!
You heard that right.
What the fuck, Randy?
And this was when he was in his early teen years. So now he grew up with this. So
I'm
like
so
I said,
I'm so stressed out for Daniel right now as a teen. Oh my gosh.
Can we say it again?
Like, I'm so stressed out for him.
I feel sorry for
that's
him.
That's fucked up.
As he went through
that's
a lot.
That's so fucked up. Like, you motherfuckers are just you failed him and then failed him and then failed him. Like, that's fucked up. I mean,
it's so hard to, like, I think when you research these cases, like, so many of these criminals do have, like, crazy backgrounds, and it's hard, because, like, we see the human in people, and so it's hard to see that, you know? But, like, then you see the things that they do, and then I think you kind of are like, well?
No.
How do you feel?
As a child, I understand what he went through. Now, I'm not saying I went through exactly what he went through, but people go through shit.
Yeah,
but
right.
The one thing you have to learn as you get older and become an adult, you can't blame your actions as an adult on your childhood.
Spot on. We say that almost like every episode. That's why she said that. She's like, literally, you could be sorry for the child, but. The adult made them damn adult decisions. So you can't be sorry for the adult here.
I think we all can agree here, and everyone probably listening, that we can all try to, you know, blame things on our childhood. But at a point you reach, you know, you realize that you have to take control and responsibility for your own life as an adult. And yeah. What you do is what you do. It's not your parents anymore.
Nope.
So take responsibility for those actions. But yeah, so it really sucked for him. Like he had a terrible childhood, and I do feel bad for him for that. He had an extremely difficult time in school, mainly due to having dyslexia and like receiving no support at the time. Damn. So he was just, it was a constant struggle for him to try to just understand and stay afloat. And the other kids would do their best to actually avoid him as he, like, would come to school smelling bad and wearing dirty clothes. His peers would actually describe him as weird and creepy.
Damn.
It's fucked up. And I'm sorry. I really do have the Joker's disorder. So if you ever hear me like laugh at certain points, it's really just a coping mechanism. So, no offense. But yes, so Daniel, he definitely had a hard time in school. Goes along with the same characteristics as a lot of
psychopaths and killers, and other serial killers and other people that just do horrible shit.
This sound like literally, and I'm not trying to be funny, but how you just said you were gonna have the Jokers. Did y'all watch the movie Joker?
Like which one?
The newest one.
I don't know if I've seen it or not.
Okay. This is literally how he kept getting bullied and laughed at and everything. But he actually had a mental problem because
he
started killing people and snapped.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It's crazy.
I feel like this is where that's leading.
Yeah, it's
okay.
It's fucking crazy. It's nuts.
I'm on the edge of my seat.
Yay! I'm so excited. I love when people. This story is nuts. Okay, and we're only at the beginning. This is just his childhood. Okay.
I have a heart attack. Just know.
Yes. Yes. So shortly after his horrific experiences with the psychiatrist, along with his deteriorating mental state because of his troubled home and his school life, you know, Daniel was like, I'm about to begin this life of crime.
Well,
you know, his life was shit.
Life was shit, I guess.
And he reached that point where he was like rebelling. I think, you know, aside from all he was going through, teenager rebelling, normal behavior for a teenager, but then he also has this trauma.
Did he graduate?
Lingering on.
So how old was he when he was in psychiatrist? Like, he was a teenager, said?
He was still a teenager after all this happened.
Okay, so I mean,
when he was actually tried, we'll get into it, but when he was tried, he was still a minor, technically. So.
Well, damn.
Yeah.
Wait, when he got trial?
Yeah.
Well, damn. Hold on.
Oh, this happened as a child.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, that's like a lot of things that like we need to take into consideration. Like,
hold on. Shit.
A rough childhood.
Damn.
Okay, so Daniel, his main thing, he, like, first off, he enjoyed breaking into people's houses, but not for the possessions.
Oh, don't say he was for a watcher.
Yeah, it was for their peace of mind. The thought of scaring people or making them think that they were, like, actually losing their mind, like, would give Daniel a rush.
Oh, so he didn't just stand there and watch you sleep, like...
No, like just kind of like what we were saying. He would like to like make you think that you were losing your mind. Like us, like, I know that I sat that fucking water bottle there and it's not fucking there anymore.
Did you move my hoodie?
Did you move that shit? And so you
really know where my hoodie is? Because I'm pretty sure I left it right here in the closet and it's not here.
If you don't experience that, then you really don't know it. And so I think that that's what's creepy as fuck too. I don't even know. So it gave him a rush. He would rummage through people's things. He would like move their belongings and their furniture around. Could you imagine like coming into your crib and your whole like living room being completely moved around?
Could you imagine that shit?
I would think I was losing my mind.
I'll fuck around. Just walk in and walk right back out.
Gotta go.
Not related to that laugh I just had, because I just thought about this too. But there was a rapist in Muncie that did that. Same fucking thing. He moved this girl's apartment around, and then she came home. Later, he came back and raped her.
That is so fucked up. People.
Same thing happened in Muncie. That's Muncie, where we're from, Indiana. Y'all. Well, you know, you've heard.
Yes.
The horror stories. But go ahead.
Yeah. So one of the other things that I found was really, really weird, and it would freak me the fuck out, to be honest with you, if I didn't live with so many people. He would leave like half drank beverages around. So literally like there would just be like cans open of like pop and shit.
Why didn't you just take the whole drink, you weirdo? You want to freak people out, you fucking stranger.
Him being in the home without anyone knowing gave him like a thrill, and he enjoyed the mind games. That was really what it was for him. It's theorized that during one of the home invasions, LaPlante would begin his obsession with Annie, a member of the family, and would retrieve the homeowner's phone number so he could begin contact with the girl.
What? Yeah. So it was during a home invasion?
Let me tell you that again.
Wait a minute.
It is theorized that during one of his random home invasions, LaPlante would begin his first obsession. Well, not first, but his obsession, with Annie, which was one of the members of the household. So while he was rummaging through their home, he would retrieve their home phone number. And so he would begin to begin in contact with the girl. So he would start calling the house phone.
What a fucking weirdo.
Fucking creep.
Y'all don't hit this man in y'all pipes or nothing.
Fucking weird as shit.
So you're just going to break in and be obsessed with the people in the house? Like, you couldn't have... Oh my God, okay. Couldn't have found somebody else that you maybe knew? Or you just had to, like...
Okay. Or not do it and don't be a fucking weirdo.
Yeah, just don't be obsessed. That's the best solution.
See, that's the answer.
I wonder what really possessed him to just start breaking in people's cribs and then getting in their walls and shit.
Even after the trauma he went through, it still makes you question. So the home actually belonged to Brian Andrew, and he had two daughters. Annie was 15, so that was the one that, you know, he was being in contact with, and there was Jessica, and she was 8. So the family, tragically, they had recently just lost the wife and mother to cancer.
Yeah.
So it was literally just, like, the dad and the two daughters. And I think that Daniel definitely used that to his advantage. I mean, he definitely did. So he would begin to call frequently. He told Annie that he had gotten her phone number from a mutual friend who he had attended her high school with. Made up some excuse. And she was like, you know, whatever. She was like just starting to think and chat about boys with her friends. And she was super intrigued by Daniel and the phone calls. She was like, okay, somebody's calling me. Like, you know, she's feeling it. So Annie was really enjoying the thought of Daniel, or what Daniel had made himself out to be.
That was the catfish times, huh?
He would tell Annie he was blonde, athletic, good looking, and smart. He was a catfish.
Aren't we all?
I literally wrote, he was a catfish. And her being naive, she fell for it.
Yeah. Of course.
Annie would eventually agree to meet up with Daniel for a date after talking on the phone for a week. So she was like, yeah, let's meet up. Let's do it. She was excited being the young girl that she was.
This was the 80s, so.
So fucking sad. Like,
when that could happen. Like, who's just calling you on the phone? Goodbye.
Creepy how he obtained her number. Just so weird. I'm not sure what he was thinking, but his dumbass showed up to pick Annie up looking absolutely nothing like what he had described
her. Oh, so no blonde hair.
Like, all right, well, we just gonna go in and we just gonna see what happens.
No blonde,
like,
no money.
He was just like, and so obviously she was taken back and she was confused by the boy, like, who that was he was standing before her. She was like, he was short with greasy dark hair. He had bad acne. So it was nothing like what she expected. And so
nothing like the Daniel she imagined.
Nothing like what he had described. So this was the beginning of catfish. So although she was hesitant of Daniel from that moment, she placed eyes on him and she did agree to go on to the fair with him on the date. So
wow.
Yeah.
So that's weird. I would have never left anywhere with him.
She was like, okay, she probably felt bad. Like, I'll just go, whatever, hang out with him.
You lied and went, shut the door.
Yeah. So, but she was a teen, so.
I ain't gonna lie. I have a child. We all have daughters. Hell no.
Mm-mm.
First off, he lied about how he looked, and then you...
He just randomly met him on the phone? No, thank you.
How did he get your number to begin? Have you ever met this person?
Yeah, he was breaking in. He was getting their number. He was looking at their shit. He got the number.
He
planned the shit, and that's what's so fucked up about it, really. As they like walked around, Annie would tell Annie and Danny about her mother's recent death to cancer, and his response, however, was very unexpected and very uncomfortable. LaPlante would light up his face. It would light up, and he would begin to ask a million questions. The questions would be like, how badly did she suffer from the illness, with imagination in his eyes and face.
What the fuck?
Literally, this is how she described it. After an hour, Annie would head home, but not without letting Daniel LaPlante understand she was not interested in seeing or hearing from him ever again. Because, like, who makes creepy remarks about that? About your mom, let alone anyone. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But no. My mom, you're being really creepy.
Yeah, no, you gotta go, sir.
So I'm proud of Annie in that moment. She was like, nah, bruh. We're not doing that.
Don't call me again, Danny. No.
Danny, you're not blonde, you're not athletic, you're weird.
There's no Annie and Danny. Don't call me again. Lose my number.
So moving on from Daniel, he's lame, whatever. So days later, Annie and her sister, they were sad, and they were thinking, and they were reminiscing on their mom and their family feeling whole again. The decision had been made, and they decided, they was like, we gonna do a seance in this motherfucker. That's not what I wrote, but they thought that a seance was the answer to try to reach their mother again.
Ratchet.
Yeah, a seance is like where you put the candles and you try to like summon the dead and
spirit.
Like
spirit.
I don't do all not that.
A yeah. Yeah. Crazy. Yeah, yeah. So, but they were like desperate and they
wanted to talk to their mom.
And so,
but by doing that, you can let
anybody,
any spirits in. And then you have to, there's certain ways you have to like make sure that you close those portals and things like that.
15 and 8. Young, didn't understand, didn't really.
He wrote, but he got possessed.
You know, but they probably didn't realize how serious it was, because, like, we all know, like, we ain't fucking with that shit, but maybe they was desperate and they were doing it. So, okay, so anyways. They went down to the basement, and the whole, they had the whole, like I said, the whole setup going. They had the candles lit, they were holding hands, and they was singing songs, and although the girls weren't taking it completely seriously, like, obviously, as I'm joking, they were still, you know, trying to be hopeful at heart, because they missed their mom. They were, like, hoping that maybe it would work, even though they were like, this is kind of silly. So they would soon hear their father coming home from work, and abruptly, like, they ended the seance. They were like, oh, fuck, he's home.
Oh, shit.
Oh, shit, clear the shit out.
And they were like, shit, Claire.
They were like, you know, they did not want him to know what they were up to, because they were like, we don't want him thinking that we're, like, fucking losing our minds and, like, and just be like, no, y'all are fucking crazy. So later that night, the girls would be laying in bed, and they would hear a rhythmic tapping come from the wall.
Fuck that.
Okay, so.
Fuck that.
Okay,
right
to
hell.
No. Okay, so instantly the girls thought, they were like, oh my God. Oh my God, it worked.
Baba.
Mom. Mom's spirit is here with us.
Okay? Mama.
Okay, so.
That's some sick
it's
shit.
Sad. It's really sad.
That's fucked up, because the story, a Frogger, the tapping, put two and two together, but let's go, keep going.
Shit.
Oh, my God.
However, like, mind let's be fucked. Real. However, let's be real, okay?
God.
The excitement did not last long.
I bet not.
Okay, as the tapping, yeah, as the tapping started to become more, like, constant, and it was irritating the girls, and they were starting to lose sleep.
Mm.
And they also found it odd that they would only hear the tapping when they were home alone. Or when their father was asleep.
Mm-mm. How?
Only when they was by themselves, or their dad was
It's like, not gonna lie. Y'all finna have me go home, and I'm finna be real paranoid. Got to sleep next to something.
Yes. Be paranoid. Because, like, this shit is real, and this shit real. This is a real fucking story. Ugh. So, yeah. Disturbingly, things were actually just beginning. The girls would notice items and furniture moved around, and one instant, one of the girls actually left food out. She came back 5 minutes later, and it was gone.
See?
5 minutes later, and it was gone.
You think I'd be tripping?
5 minutes, that's it.
My hoodie's not there, and then I come back an hour, it's
there.
They're
just toying with you at that point. They're like, I know you're watching me. This is how quick I can be. And then be hit again, and that you won't find me. Like, that's so fucked. So, the girl, yeah. Yeah, nah, you be ready. You gotta be ready at all times. So, the girls would eventually break down to their dad, and they would explain how they felt there was a ghost in their home. Because they ghost. Was like, we did this seance, and we think there's a motherfucking ghost in this shit. I mean, they didn't say that, but that's just my paraphrase. And then, so Brian, their dad, he would disregard their statements.
Dick.
Stating it was just nonsense, and they were just simply grieving over their mom's death and assuring them that things would get better.
Ain't none of that shit nonsense.
Because he's just like, what? I mean, but as a parent, you're just like, a sockeye.
No.
I don't know what's going on.
It's not okay.
Yeah.
What the fuck was that?
Literally.
No, it's not okay, because what the fuck are we talking about right now? Who, you heard what? You did what?
Yeah, I ain't gonna what lie. Happened? He didn't put an alert on here. Even if you didn't believe him, I feel like he should have still did it just for their peace of mind.
You're a single father with two daughters, taking care of them alone. Your wife's died, and you're just disregarding their fears.
I'm gonna just be honest. I have to take up for Brian because his wife had just died, and he was trying to support them financially, so he worked a shit ton.
Okay.
Trying to support his girls.
Because he left them alone, because you said that already. I caught that.
Didn't have a choice. What would you do in that situation?
I mean, I would probably figure something out.
I ain't gonna lie. 15 and 8. I was home alone at about the age of like...
My point exactly.
Like I was on a bus at like 8 or 9, about myself going to school.
Point exactly. And the oldest girl was 15. He was working his ass off.
Those are girls.
And I get
it. It's different. I mean, I say a double standard all you want. I don't care.
My sister and go pick her up from school.
And it's a different time, so I mean, say what you want.
It was a lot of raping going on back then. A lot of raping.
It's always crazy.
But was the shit highly known and well publicized? Yeah. Not exactly, because people wouldn't care about where their kids was in the '90s still, even until it got dark. And then they wouldn't come home. They'd be like, oh,
where's
Sandy? Sandy never came home.
Okay, well, I forgot. We was raised in different times, in different places.
Definitely.
In Chicago, you was going outside, you have to, your parent would tell you, if I can't see you, that means you too far. So you can chill on a straight shot. As soon as you go out, bring your ass in the crib.
See, our area was nothing. Not that dangerous, so nope. I feel like we were able to, like, once the street lights come on, anywhere you're at, then it's time to come home.
There, so that be was out in the was. Out in the neighborhood.
You might be like
all the way
2-3 blocks away, but if you start seeing, oh, it's about to get them street lights coming on,
I'd be like, home. Personally, I'd be like 8 blocks away, 9 blocks away.
I was bad, so that you know, I was a little different. I ain't never listened to curfew.
So, I mean,
yeah.
I was in trouble.
That was little. That was when we was young kids. Okay, but back to the story. So, so the dad, he was just like, oh my God, girls, you guys are just sad. I don't know. It's gonna be fine. It's gonna be fine. It's gonna be fine, girls. So one evening, the girls were home alone. Okay.
Again. Mm-hmm. Sorry, Brian.
And the tapping began, but this time coming from the floor.
Huh?
Over He's at this point, like, she was over it. Like, mm-hmm. over it at this point, Annie, the 15-year-old, she would grab a kitchen knife, and her and Jessica would creep down to the basement. And to their utter horror, the girls would see what looked like what was written in blood, the statement, "I'm in your room. Come find me."
Oh. Okay.
The so, girls, they girls, they run out of the house. They run, they run directly to the neighbor's house. And then once their father arrived home and they like were describing the situation, they were all like intense and shit. And he's like, he's honestly, he felt like guilt. I mean, he felt, he was like, fuck. And he was like, he thought maybe like him working so much and him being away was causing them to use this as like more for a cry for attention.
So he thought they did it. He, instead of thinking, oh, somebody's actually tormenting my children, he thought
it was,
oh, well, they're being crazy. They're acting out. What a fucking fail, bro. What a fail.
Yeah. So, in result, the girls would actually end up going to therapy. Sadly, this incident would not be the last with the LaPointe family. Obviously, because it wasn't them. It was only around, actually, 2 weeks later when Daniel would again begin his knocking. But this time, the sound would be heard coming from Annie's room. They once again headed toward the sound, but they were stopped in their tracks when they'd seen written on Annie's bedroom wall. I'm back. Find me if you can.
I'm back.
Yep. I'm back. Find me if you can.
I wish, no. I wish we wouldn't find
you. Basically what I'm saying, the kids was like, no motherfucking way. So they ran to the same neighbor's house. And
I need another.
I can't wait. You need another shot.
Nerd's gummy clusters. This is not an ad, but nerd gummy clusters are the fucking shit, guys. Best fucking candy. I've literally been eating every bite of those.
It's a tingling sensation.
I like that little tune there. I'm glad you had push play because I'm keeping it in there for you.
It's a tingling sensation. So, okay. okay. For real.
Wow.
So back to what we were saying. So, Daniel. So on Annie's bedroom wall, I'm back.
I'm back, bitches.
I'm back. Stop. No, I'm just kidding. I know. I'm back, bitches. Okay, Brittany. Find me if you can. Okay, so the children, once again, they ran out to the same neighbor. And the girl, the lady, she felt bad. She was like, they just lost their mom and their dad is working so much.
He's a jerk and doesn't care what they feel like.
Hey, she didn't say that.
Okay.
So their dad, he came home again for work.
Oh, gosh. Yes, I got to talk her out.
He was like, he was still not buying the whole story. He was like, damn, these motherfucking kids.
Damn it, Annie.
Yes, so Brian's attitude, though, would actually quickly change when he seen something else written on a wall that the girls had not mentioned or even, like, seen.
That's what you get,
he was,
Brian.
Like, kind of spooked. He was like, okay, wait, so why didn't they say shit about this wall? Yeah, so it had been written after, actually, the girls had fled, and it read, marry me, with an exclamation point.
Wow.
Weird.
Wow.
At this point, all the weird situations started to click for Brian.
Okay.
He was like, oh, no. Maybe they weren't lying.
Two plus two is four.
Right. Yeah.
That's the truth.
Yeah. He now knew it couldn't be the active imaginations of his children. But at this exact moment, Brian seen something move out of the corner of his eye.
It wasn't a mouse.
No. So he was like having this moment and he was like, oh shit, something's right there. So when he looked to see what the movement was, he seen a short, skinny boy standing in the hall. Okay, so you just like, and you're like, what the fuck? Okay, so as if this situation wasn't weird and scary and disturbing enough, Daniel, I'm sorry, I'm not gonna laugh, was standing there with makeup matted on his face, a blonde wig and a dress. The dress would actually belong to Brian's deceased wife.
Oh, that's fucked up.
Well, you said LaPointe?
Yeah. He had the dress on and the makeup and a wig. Okay. Oh, okay. Congrats. So, but then not only that, not only was he dressed, not only was he dressed and makeup and yeah, all that, he had a whole motherfucking ratchet or hatchet. I'm sorry. Not a ratchet.
He was ratchet, yeah. But he had a hatchet.
A hatchet in his fucking hand.
Okay, so he's ready Brian, to fucking square up. Yeah, he's looking up. At
Brian like, motherfucker, I'm ready. So, Brian, he would begin to struggle with Daniel, obviously. He was like, motherfucker. And Daniel was able to actually get away, which I'm like, wow.
Well, he had a hatchet.
Yeah, but still, like, he was skinny. You could have controlled that situation.
Yeah.
But, I would have kicked the fuck out of him.
Yeah, you should. The dad should have been able to fucking... I'm not...
But, I mean, he should have been able to get away. He had a hatchet, guys. I have a weapon. If I'm really not trying to hurt you, I just want to get away. I should be able to get away with the weapon. I feel like.
Yeah.
And I'm shooting his ass.
That too. Always.
I'm shooting your ass.
Why are you in here? And you in my dead wife's dress. Like, what the fuck are we doing?
With makeup on and a wig.
Get right at my daughters.
Like, what are you doing?
Marry you, huh?
So, yeah.
Marry you?
I'm finna marry you to this bullet. I'm sorry, y'all. Sorry,
the police would actually be called and sent out to investigate the home. Upon entering Annie's room, the police would find a small door inside her closet.
She never seen this door?
Never seen this door.
He probably broke in and created it so he can move.
I done got mad. How do you not see a door in your fucking closet?
A small little door in her closet.
Clean that shit up.
And it led to a crawl space.
Yuck.
This would be where they found the boy who had actually attacked Brian, Daniel LaPlante, living in that crawl space.
So my guy escaped from Brian and ran and got back in the crawl space. He didn't even run away.
Nope. He said, I'm going back to my crib into the wall.
You know what? I know y'all seen Harry Potter.
Nope. Never watched it.
I'm gonna talk to you all right
Not
now.
A Harry Potter head.
I mean, sorry. I like Harry Potter, but...
I'm sorry, guys. Anyone else we let down just now?
You did. I
like some Harry Potter. I like watch the first three years.
I never watched them.
Long story short, it's a dude who got turned into a mice, but now he can turn back and forth into it.
Uh-huh.
His ass runs from people and turns into a mice and runs to the fucking wall.
That was Daniel.
Yeah. And I'm sure our listeners know what the fuck you're talking about, even though we don't, because... Shit, Harry Potter is huge. Yeah. We were just talking about that actually in another episode not that long ago. But yeah, so
the crawl space.
They are unsure really actually how long Daniel had been living in their home. Because like it was back in the day, they didn't really fucking know. It could have been anywhere between like 2 days to 2 months.
It was well more than 2 days.
They found a sleeping bag, soda cans. Food wrappers and missing clothing items that actually belonged to the family. So, like, they were like, where's my shirt? And he was like, I got your shirt down here.
Wow.
So,
in your crawl space.
They got it in your crawl space.
Wow. What a weird situation. I'd be pretty upset. You stole my hoodie. I know. I that's my favorite hoodie, bro.
Right. The crawl space led to a passageway that would lead him through the house, and that was how he would actually be able to, like, get from room to room. So he would also, like, make peepholes to spy and stalk on the family. So, like, he would, like, see certain rooms. He'd be like, I'm gonna make a peephole here. So he was able to, like, spy and see what he wanted to. So the police would actually take 16-year-old Daniel to a juvenile.
16.
Yeah. 16.
You're stressing me out now.
Yeah. To a juvenile detention center where he would be kept for 10 months until he would turn 17. In October, once he was 17, his case would be transferred to adult court. And that's when he would be able to post bail.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it was the 80s too. So, I mean, really, what did they charge him with is the thing.
Yes. So, LaPlante was charged with 4 counts of kidnapping. 4 counts of armed assault.
Kidnapping?
Yeah.
What did he kidnap?
Yeah. 4 counts of armed assault in a dwelling, entering a dwelling, larceny of more than $100, and malice destruction of property. property.
Oh, wow.
His court date was scheduled for December 11th, 1987. However, Daniel, he didn't show up.
His bail was probably only $12 anyway to get out.
He didn't show up.
And he didn't show up to court when they called him back. That's not surprising. He was probably somewhere in somebody's house. Mm-hmm. Hiding. Sorry, go ahead.
Probably back at the same crib, honestly.
Right. The facility seemed to do barely any good for him, really. I mean, like, no. Didn't do anything for him. Because literally, as Daniel broke into another home and stole two handguns in November. So, like, as soon as he posted bail and he didn't go to court, he broke in to this home. Stole the guns. And that was literally only a month after being released from the facility.
Damn.
So, like, and then, so then after that, things just started to escalate. So, he didn't go to court. And that was on December 11th that he didn't go to court. So, right. On December 1st. Mm-hmm. So, before that.
10 days, right?
Yeah. Daniel would break into the home of the Gustafsson family. The Gustafsson family included Priscilla. She was 33. Her husband was 34-year-old Andrew, and their two children, 7-year-old Abigail and 5-year-old William.
Damn.
Priscilla was a few months pregnant with the couple's third child.
You just hurt me. Go ahead.
After making just a half a mile walk from there. From like his home, actually to theirs, LaPlante, he would break into their home, and he would be met by pregnant Priscilla, along with her two small children.
Fuck me.
Unfortunately, Andrew, the husband, would be at work while this horrible event transpired. Upon returning home, Andrew would be met with an absolutely horrifying crime scene. He would find his wife laying face down in the bed with blood splattered everywhere.
Oh my God.
Daniel had raped and shot Priscilla twice in the head, killing her.
Damn.
And then he would drown both small children in separate bathrooms.
What the fuck?
So at the scene of the crime, there would be a .22 caliber bullet casings, an untouched can of beer, and semen stains on the bed. They also discovered shoe prints in a flower bed outside the home that were verified to actually be shoe prints from Daniel.
What the fuck?
So it's when I first heard, that's what's crazy about this case. When I first heard this case, I did not even know that he went on to kill somebody.
Okay. So
I literally just thought he lived in someone's walls, and that was it, and then he moved on.
Same kind of. I've heard this case multiple times. I watched that episode on the Froggers or whatever that A&E channel show is. They bypassed the murder.
Literally.
They kind of mention it, but they bypassed the murders. They didn't say that two children were murdered either. That's fucked up. But they go in depth on how he went into motherfucking stalking his family. So that I've heard I've heard that story. And then I've heard that story with another podcast, but
it blew my mind. The murders,
no one ever talks about those.
Why? And like, that's why I didn't do this case. He
killed two children.
I say this.
And a pregnant woman.
The judicial system is very faulty.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he should have never been able to bond out as soon as he went out of juvenile court into adult court. He should have never been able to bond out after that immediately. Like, that's the purge laws. Here we go back to that type of shit. But go ahead. Go ahead. Literally. It's fucked up.
That shit fucked up. That shit got me sick to my stomach.
You done?
You haven't said any of this.
I'm just saying, that shit's crazy.
So, the police, they began putting their suspects together. Unsurprisingly, LaPlante would make that list. And would it be due to his past crimes involving, living in the people's fucking house.
Yeah.
The Andrews. And then actually just being released from the detention center. So, they were like, well, he was actually just released as well. and him living close to the home. It was just like, damn, like, this is him. So the police would question Daniel, and he would say he was at a birthday party and he knew nothing. The police came to his home and questioned him a second time. However, this time LaPlante would run off into the woods.
Oh.
Yeah, he would be scat. Like, ah, gotta go.
Scat, little kitty.
Right.
What the fuck?
There would be like an outstanding amount of evidence that would prove LaPlante's guilt.
Besides the fact he ran off in the woods?
Like, so much. The semen stains were matched to LaPlante. His shoes matched the shoe print in the flower bed. The gun was found in LaPlante's possession. And the shell casings found at the scene would match up. So, I mean, with Daniel now on the run, a massive manhunt would take place because they're like, this motherfucker's going down.
He could be anywhere. He could be literally anywhere. He was just in someone's crawl space. He could be in a police
department in the wall.
He could already be in jail. Nobody knows.
Yeah.
Man, he could be any type of nigga that break out.
Literally.
That's fucked up.
So they had like helicopters, they had police dogs, and almost 50 officers like doing this manhunt. Apparently, he wasn't worried or careful.
Okay.
Because while on the run, LaPlante would abduct a woman at gunpoint.
Oh, my God.
And steal her van. At this point, there had been many sightings of LaPlante, and by 6:30, he would be apprehended. He was hiding in a dumpster at a lumber yard 11 miles away from that location.
Oh, my gosh.
So they found his ass, and they were like, what the fuck, bro?
He crawled into a dumpster and got caught.
Yes. Well,
at least they fucking caught him. Otherwise, they could have just dumped him.
So LaPlante's trial would start in October of 1988, in which he would plead guilty to all three murders. Even though he was a minor when the crimes occurred, he was now 18, and he would be tried as an adult. So thank fucking God. The prosecution's case against Daniel was solid. During the trial, Daniel would be prosecuted well. It said that he showed like no remorse and held a smirk on his face during the duration of the trial. The only he had like no remorse. He was just like, fuck it.
Wow.
Yeah, so the only thing that the defense had was the evidence that would be found at LaPlante's home was circumstantial. Saying it could be another family member that lived there as well. However, the others in LaPlante's home had alibis for the time of the murder.
So he was only convicted for three murders, even though she was pregnant. So that technically should have been four. But we're going to keep going on about that.
Just the 80s.
Yeah, like fucking nuts. Like, I'm like, that was the baby. Anyways, after 5 hours of deliberation...
That
could have
been me.
That could have been us. Man. But after the 5 hours of deliberation... Literally.
That's it. I mean, literally, November of 88, that was me.
You. This was you, baby.
Convict him for me. No, I'm just kidding.
So they, like I said, they deliberated for 5 hours, and they would find LaPlante guilty of all three murders, obviously.
Didn't he plead guilty?
Yep, and he... What
was the deliberation for?
I don't know. It was like, fuck him. They were like, I don't know. Anyway, he would receive three life sentences that would need to be served consecutively. Actually resides in Norfolk, Massachusetts, at the MCI Norfolk Prison, where it said he is truly a difficult inmate.
I bet.
Yeah. In 1993, Daniel would try to appeal his conviction.
Okay. Sorry. You know how to say words, though.
I do. Stating police had no warrant to access his home, he would be denied.
His home?
Yeah.
The dumpster? No, I'm just kidding.
Right.
I'm just kidding.
Right. He also would be separated from the rest of the prisoners for the safety per his request. He would then sue the ones that allowed him to be separated.
Okay.
Because he was not allowed access to the library due to the segregation. So he asked to be separated, and then he got mad because he got separated because he couldn't go to the library.
So, okay.
All right. Weird information, I know. He would win the lawsuit, though.
Fuck him.
To being denied of his rights. And
he's a bitch.
Yeah, and in 2013, he also would complain about having his freedom of religion being violated. So he was just very...
Oh, fuck you.
He was just a pussy, and he was just very difficult and just stupid. So.
Daniel, fuck you, you bitch.
So I got one thing to say only. Mm-hmm. At this point, I don't feel bad for him as a child anymore, because he was a child and he still made a thing. One time it was a mistake to keep doing it, bro. He was a dumbass. He was a bitch. And I'm glad what happened to you happened to you.
I mean...
They fucked him up in jail. I bet somebody opened his butthole in jail. I bet you.
So, I mean, asshole. I agree. I mean, I agree. I can't even say any otherwise.
For you to go to jail and people find out that you raped somebody, they're more than likely going to rape you back.
And she was a pregnant woman. And yeah. She, and then you murdered two kids. And then you proceed to carjack a woman.
Yeah, he was just literally out
of... What the fuck?
Crazy individual, went through a crazy childhood, and just it escalated. So, in most recent news, so the most current thing I could find was 2017. Daniel would appeal for a reduced sentence and decided
fuck
to... And he finally started to show some sort of remorse. He would say, "I do not have the words to fully express my profound sorrow, but I am truly sorry for the harm I have caused. From the very essence of who I am, from the depth of my soul, I am sorry."
Hmm.
A lot of people stated that he had shown no remorse during the whole duration of his prison sentence.
Of course, because he's being a dick and fucking suing and asking for the shit. Like, go ahead.
Yeah, so the statement, it fell short. So luckily his appeal would be denied and he would complete the rest of his sentence without the possibility of early release.
Yeah. As you should.
You're going down now.
So that is the crazy case of Daniel LaPlante. It forever lives in my mind. People may be living in your house that you don't know of.
Oh my God. I think he definitely...
I just needed to share that with the public.
I think he definitely...
Fucked up.
I think he definitely is going to live in my mind from now on. I'm glad that I have...
I'm on spine right now. My shit twitching.
Yeah, it's weird.
I have a resolve to that story now. I'm finally glad. Because I've not, like I said, really heard the full ending of that story. I knew he murdered someone and it was a woman. But to go on to say she was pregnant, had two little children, he drowned.
He drowned them.
Like, what the fuck is wrong with you, you sick fucking...
And you know that, like, our podcast, we try to do things cool and cash, but, like, the details of, like, the murders are absolutely insane, and they're just horrific. So, it's awful, and it's been crazy, but we had to do this case.
Yeah, now this
And was now a, Daniel LaPlante will live in your mind, just like it lives in mine.
Yeah, this had to be a definite doer. I'm glad you got this one done for us, because I needed this one done.
Well, we just want to say thank you to Malik for joining us tonight.
Thanks, Malik.
Thank you for having me.
Yes.
Most definitely. Shit definitely going to be in my mind.
Yes, I bet it will.
He's going to go and check, make sure there's no attic or crawl spaces where Daniel LaPlante could be in.
You all should.
As you should tonight. But everybody, you know, as always, this is a Comma Crime podcast hosted by husband and wife duo, Justin and Katie Daniels. This is a true crime pod that has our spin on the case and suspects. We're saying everything in respect to the victims and their families. This is our lighthearted way of bringing you the case with as much accuracy and research as, you know, we could get. Always hit us up with a case suggestion, add case suggestion in the subject line. You know the Gmail. It's killersallaroundus@gmail.com. Facebook.
killers-allaroundus-us:a true crime podcast.
Twitter.
@aroundkillers. Killers all around us.
Instagram.
@killersallaroundus.
And it's killersallaroundus@truecrimepodcast.wordpress.com. Later, guys.
Bye, guys. We love you. See you next time.
Adios.